Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
There was never any panic. There was never any false manufactured boo-ah speech that someone had to make.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Dan Wiederer is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And he is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. He is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Dan Wiederer, how are you?
I'm a little tired. Got a lot of work ahead to try to figure out what happened last night, but I'm good overall. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I think we're good.
He's a little gimpy.
I'm not gimpy. I know that I'm not in top physical shape, and that just now I feel like people who watch the Bears game can relate because a lot of those players not in good shape this morning.
So Dan, help me with the balance the scales of Bears emotions here. It's a game. Yeah. It's a game they probably weren't going to win. It's a game where they had the ball and a chance to drive down the field and win, largely because of that late fumble. And yet, the offense is so bad and so uncoordinated that it is giving us this pit in our stomach where there is, Brad Biggs put it, this isn't a crisis, but you can see a crisis from here.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And you felt that in the locker room, Dan, after the game. And that's what was palpable to me. And I wrote a little bit about that in my column for this morning. It was just that it felt heavier than it should have. And I think part of it was because of the stage you were on. I think part of it was because of how rickety the offense was in so many moments. You know, the number of penalties, the turnovers, the missed blocks, the things that created all the negative plays. As you mentioned, nobody really walked into Energy Stadium last night expecting the Bears to triumph, you know, and beat a team that has established itself as one of the best in the AFC, but they failed the eye test. And I think that's what gives you pause, particularly offensively, when you go, man, that just looked ugly. And so now you got to get back in the correction mode, understanding that this next block of four games feels like it has the possibility to give you some momentum, but you have to create that momentum yourself. You can't just wait for it to come to you.
Speaking of failing the eye test, that's definitely where the offensive line fits into all of this. Like you couldn't watch that game last night in combination with the first game, in combination with maybe last season's games, and not just wonder where do they go from here on the offensive line. I'm not Chicken Little, but Dan, convince me that the sky is not falling.
Marshall, I want to watch this on my flight back today because I just want to get into some of the video a little bit more to figure out where this is so rickety. It's just because it was ugly. They haven't been able to establish the run for 2 weeks now. When you can't do that, you're taking away one of the greatest security blankets for a young rookie quarterback. And then when you just allow opposing defenses, particularly one that has two premier edge rushers on its side to pin its ears back and come after you in third and long and then throw some blitzes at you and pressures that you're not going to be able to handle. It gets ugly quickly. And so they've got to figure this out. Look, like I think the Ryan Bates move to IR over the weekend is one that stings. I think that they invested a draft pick in that trade with the idea that he could be a really big time contributor for them in 2024. And it doesn't look like he's going to be for the foreseeable future. And so now you got to make good with what you got there. And you better find answers quickly because, look, like this league doesn't wait for you. You know what I mean? And for a season like this that has the expectations that it has in Chicago, you can't panic in September, but you also can't just take your, you know, kick your feet up and say it's all going to be fine, because it might not be. And so you better find answers quickly. You're going to Indy next week to play a Colts defense that gave up a ton of yards on the ground yesterday to the Packers. And so find some answers, find some solutions to get things going up front, and then hopefully other things will follow behind that.
Is Coleman Shelton an NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, he's got starting experience in this league, but the first 2 weeks of his Bears career certainly haven't been pretty by any stretch of the imagination. And so, again, like I think that you were hopeful that Ryan Bates would be your starting center this year, and then you'd have some versatility at some of the other positions, and you're not there. And so they've got to get him playing at a acceptable level. Otherwise, your running game's never going to get going. Your quarterback's never going to feel comfortable. And the biggest thing that concerns me is when Caleb starts missing throws that you've seen him make, you can attribute some of that to just the nerviness of feeling a little bit jittery at where your next hit is going to come from. And you don't want that 2 games into a career where a guy is all of a sudden missing throws. Like, I asked Caleb at the end of the news conference last night about the third down throw he missed on the first drive after halftime, which he had DeAndre Carter coming open. The play was there to be made. And if it's complete, it's a big gain and possibly a touchdown with the angle the safety was coming over at. And you've got to hit those. And when you miss those, it just is the type of error that compounds when you're an offense that just hasn't established any sort of rhythm or momentum to this point. And you've got to find ways to make those plays. I think it's only going to take, you know, 2 or 3 chunk plays that just loosen everybody up, but they haven't had them yet. And so you got to get there quick, fast, in a hurry.
I know right after the game, you get the answers from a coach who will tell you, you know, he hasn't seen the film yet. He hasn't watched and can't give you every answer that you want. Is there anything glaring that you feel like Matt Eberflus is going to give us today after he does take a look at what happened being the head coach, even though offense isn't necessarily his side of the ball, it's all under him?
I just want him to be a little bit more honest, I think, probably about what he's seeing from his offensive line. And if it's not as bad as we think, then explain why. If it's worse than he thought, then explain why, you know, and start to troubleshoot that.
It's not okay, I can tell you that.
Yeah, right. And so you better find your troubleshooting methods really fast, because you're going to need it. Look, like, you've got a defense right now that's playing at a playoff level, if not a championship level. And when they created that turnover in the fourth quarter to give them life, you're talking about a group now that I think through 2 weeks in the second half has given up 3 points and created 4 takeaways, right? That's winning football. And so you've got to support them at some point, and the offense isn't doing its share right now. And you're going to have to find a way for the offense to do its share. Otherwise, we've lived this movie way too many times where the frustration on that side of the ball starts to really grow. And then you lose all that sort of positive energy and belief that you've built up over the last 6 months.
Cole Kmet was a top 10 NFL tight end last year, maybe better than that by some measurements. He's being paid to be a top 10 NFL tight end. Why has his takeoff this season been so slow?
I think a lot of it is because they don't have any sort of offensive identity right now, Dan. And like I've said a couple times that I'm always willing to give a new coordinator with new pieces and a new system going in the month of September to figure things out, to get the iron out, to get the wrinkles out of everything, and then to show us who you want to be as an offense. And right now they just seem like they're grasping in every single direction, and they're really not getting anybody involved. I thought DeAndre Swift would have a better start to the season than he has. I thought that DJ Moore would be a guy that you know, you could lean on in every single moment you need to lean on. And they're just not there right now. And Cole's part of that, where he just hasn't factored in, and you're behind the sticks a lot. And what do we have? 8 offensive penalties last night, including 4 false starts and a delay a game coming out of a quarter change or a TV timeout, rather. That's unacceptable. That can't ever happen. And when you're constantly playing from behind the chains, you just lack the ability to get to the stuff that you want to do. And they better find a way, because they've got too many good players on this team to not be producing the way they're not producing.
And there's a play here where I'm just looking at my notes of the number of times I wrote down Cole Kmet. And one of them is here, third quarter. It's 3rd and 1. This was after the dust up with Al-Shahir, okay, with the punch that was thrown, after the scramble and the big hit. There was the false start on Nate Davis. Then there was the scramble. Then on that 3rd and 1, it was a Will Anderson sack. When he came unblocked around the edge, and the responsibility for blocking Will Anderson was on a motioning Cole Kmet, who is being asked to come down the line to meet a premier pass rusher, set his feet, and do that. And I just thought that when we talk about coordination and play design, why are you asking that of him at that point?
They weren't, Dan. And so that's an interesting one. I wish we could get a little bit more clarity on what went wrong on that sequence, because I asked Cole specifically about that in the locker room, and he said, I'm not pass blocking on that play. He's like, my entire vision is expecting Will Anderson to crash down there. He thought Caleb was looking for a bubble screen there. That's one of the plays I've got starred in to go rewatch video.
I'm glad I asked then because I don't have to blame.
Yeah.
Do I blame Waldron? Do I blame Komet? Like, this is one of those things where this is good, because I thought for sure they just asked a guy to come get there who wasn't ready to get there or didn't get there in time.
And that was ugly, right? Like, and you watch that with the naked eye and you're like, oh God. And that's why I asked Cole about that. And he just said, so I don't know if there was like an RPO option in there or something went wrong in the communication of what they were running. I do want to rewatch that because it's a bad sequence, you know? And as you mentioned, you're talking about third and short, and these are the types of plays that if you're going to get over the hump sooner rather than later, you have to make. That can't be a punt. You have to get a first down, keep that drive moving, end that drive with points, and then all of a sudden the conversation changes, the feeling of the sideline changes, everything is a little different. So hopefully in the next couple of days we can get a little bit better answer on what went wrong there.
Dan, from your vantage point, whether it's in the press box, whether it's at practice, what is your number one primary concern about this offense? Like, what do you think is step one to fixing everything that's, I would say, gone wrong, but nothing's even gone right to even say something's gone wrong. I mean, it feels like we're still at square one, even though the season's 2 weeks old.
They're running the ball so horrifically. And their big runs yesterday were scrambles by Caleb. And you have to figure out something in your identity to get that established and get yourself unlocked in that regard. There was such optimism about a month ago from everyone in the building about what they were seeing in training camp, about being able to take a lot of the run stuff they did last year with Getsy and marry it up with the stuff that Shane's doing now. And they felt like that was going to be what they were going to hit the ground running doing, and they haven't. And so for me, Marshall, that's it. Like, you gotta go. Like, and it's got to start again. What, you know, you're driving south to Indianapolis this weekend. I guess they'll fly. I'll drive. And you're going to play a Colts defense that showed that it can't stop the run, you know? And so you better study that video and find some openings and some opportunities and expose it and lean on it and find a way to get that unlocked. Because if you're going to be that one dimensional and not be able to establish it, they've got enough players, you know, both offensive line and running backs, to be running the ball better than they are right now. So this is the week to find answers for sure.
So it's not a personnel issue in your eyes. It's more of a just everybody has to do better issue.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's more the latter. I mean, look, you're not going to change who you have right now on your roster. That process is over. So you better squeeze the most out of what you got. And I mean, I believe in DeAndre Swift. I believe they've got enough maulers up front that they can create some things. They just got to figure out what that looks like and what the identity is going to be. And again, get it started soon, because I think once you get a few big chunk runs that then lead to some play action chunk completions, everybody takes a big breath, and that anxiety that Dan talked about at the opening of not being in a crisis, but seeing a crisis from here, suddenly dissipates. And so you got to get to that point really quickly. I imagine the coaching staff is right now up in the video room looking at stuff and trying to figure out how to correct it fast.
This is a must-win game, and I can't believe I'm saying it, and I feel guilty for saying it.
No.
I feel terrible for saying it. But if you can't beat this team with this run defense, then you're in real trouble here.
It's a must play well game, you know, and then we'll kind of examine how the result comes to be. It's a must play well game. And I think that was probably my prevailing thought on the Uber back to the hotel last night, was just how sloppy that game was in every way, shape, or form. I mean, look, like you used two challenges that no one thought you should have used, you know, and we're sitting in the press box, not too far down from where Ryan Poles sits. And I know he was unhappy, you know, like I know he was unhappy in the moments those challenges were made. And so you got to get those cleaned up. That costs you a timeout in the second half that you badly could have used, you know, when you needed it. And so like everything has to be cleaner. Everything has to be sharper. Everything has to look like you believe you're a playoff football team and can execute that way, both operationally and when the plays are run.
players, coaches, they'll tell you we take it one game at a time, one week at a time. We don't have to do that because we work in the media. We could take it more than one game at a time. You talked about the play well, must play well. Dan's talking about must win. I'm with you on the must play well because I see that stretch of three straight home games with a Rams team that is looking like it's having some struggles. The Panthers are the Panthers, and you know what that means.
Yeah.
And then the Jaguars are also not as consistent as they would like to be. So I feel like if you just play better and can take that momentum into that three-game home stretch, you could come out of that with a winning record, like in the Jaguars game with a winning record, which would be 4-2, 5-1, whatever.
Well, just to be clear, that Jaguars game is in London, so that's a quote-unquote home game that will have some wild card factors to it. But I really do, like, you have to hit that bye week at 500. You just have to. If you're below 500 after winning your opener and you're in a stretch where you've lost, you know, four or five or whatnot, you guys know how it works around here. Yes. The noise amplifies. It gets a little more strained. It gets a little more tense. And then everybody's got to deal with that weight. And that's probably my biggest concern right now for both Shane and Caleb is just seeing how they navigate this for the first time. Neither one of them has been in this market with this level of angst, you know, and so they're going to feel it a little bit, and then they just have to respond to it and find answers, troubleshoot properly, and get to some things that gets everybody unlocked. And then hopefully we're here 2 weeks from now just talking about, man, they really did a nice job of getting the ship steadied. Because if they're not, again, we've lived this movie too many times, and I think that's what brings that pit in your stomach up, yeah, right? Yes, like you're just, yes, like, I, like, yes. Oh my God, I've experienced this before. And like, even talking to Cole in front of his locker last night, he's like, I feel like we've had this talk many times over the last, you know, 4 years here. And like, so that creeps in a little bit, and you could feel the frustration in DJ Moore both during the game and in the locker room afterward. Like, they've got to get something that quells that frustration right away. No better opportunity to do it than the next Sunday in Indy.
I understand why Velus Jones was inactive completely. Believe me, I get it. And I was interested to see that, you know, there's Travis Homer again, and they keep throwing passes to DeAndre Carter. And on the one hand, you throw to the open guy. On another hand,
yeah,
it's your kick returner. And you have real receivers out there who you can decide to try to target more. Why was it so important, especially early, to involve DeAndre Carter?
Well, I actually didn't have much of an issue with the balls that went his way. When he get four targets, was it? I don't have the box in front of me. And the one that they didn't connect on was the one that they should have connected on. Yes. It might have been their biggest play of the night had they done so. And so I thought they were okay in that regard. I do think that on those money downs, right? Like when you're in third and short, you got to remember plays. I mean, players and not plays, you know, and that's the thing. You talk about the third and one, Dan, and the sack that comes from Will Anderson and what went wrong there. Like, you should be able to pick up a yard. Looked like there was another third and one that they didn't get, and then they had to go for it on fourth and inches, you know. And so don't make life so difficult on yourself. Know what you can lean into when you really need a yard or two or three or four and get there quickly. And so that's going to be part of this feeling out process over this first month of the season. But again, once that calendar flips to October, we shouldn't be talking about feeling out processes anymore. You should have some stuff felt out, you know, and some things ironed out to the point where other teams can know what you're going to run, and you're still going to run it better than they can stop it, and they've got to get there soon.
The nuance that you're talking about with, you know, sometimes you just got to get that yard. I don't know if I see that with Shane Waldron's offense. I'm praying for it. Do you feel like he's, I won't say being too cute at times, but when you're having the offensive identity struggles that the Bears have had so far, do they need to have a more smash mouth approach? Since apparently they have some maulers up front, as you said, that who have in the past mauled.
I think they want to see it, Marshall. I think they want to see it because it just doesn't feel like there's much you can trust right now.
Right.
So when you start trying to call plays without trust in anything, that's where it starts to get.
Grasping at straws,
or a little bit, yeah. And you don't like just have that conviction of like, all right, it's third and one. We're gonna stick the ball in, you know, either or Swift's gut or Khalil Herbert's gut, and we know we're gonna move the chains. And I've got my first down play lined up to run right behind it, and let's go. And then you get stopped, and then, you know, you. I think that was a quarterback sneak that Caleb ran that didn't get anywhere, and then you really had a fight for the yard on fourth and inches. And then all of a sudden you're like, God, this is too hard, you know? And like, we've got to find something that isn't this hard. And so, you know, we'll see. Like, I got to say, the two scoring drives in the first half, like, there's things in those drives where you go, that looks right. You know, that's the type of rhythm you're looking for from your quarterback. That's the type of flow you want from your offense. It just completely disappeared in the second half. And I think they had 8 possessions after halftime and maybe 11 first downs in the second half. Like that's not acceptable in a game like that, where your defense is keeping you alive and keeping you alive and keeping you alive. And yet somehow with a minute left, you had first down at midfield, you know, with a chance to win the game, and you couldn't have asked to be in a better position. And then it went incomplete, sack, legal formation penalty, and another incompletion. And you're just like, okay, that was the end of a promising night for sure.
Well, I saw it in the third quarter. Kevin Fishbane noted it too. 16 third quarter plays, only 3 of which went for more than 6 yards. That ain't it. No matter what you want, as well.
UGLY.
Yep. No alibi.
You ugly.
Thank you so much.
You ugly.
Dan Wiederer, travel safe. We'll talk again next week, man.
Thanks, fellas. Talk soon.
That's Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and The Score. Next up, let's go back. Let's hear Caleb Williams' full post game. And because he talked, if I had more time with Dan, I would love to ask about when he said you could feel it in the locker room afterward.
You feel it kind of at the podium too. I mean, but he's not a guy who's been here for the previous, right? He's just a guy who's frustrated because they lost the game. He knows he didn't play well, and he got beat up.
Well, this is what we talk about, getting bears.
Street fight.
Getting bears. Sometimes you end up getting bears, and we'll assess the state of that process next on the screen.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
Once again, the Texans bring pressure. Williams, lofting, back shoulder for Moore, incomplete. Bring up fourth down, it'll bring on the field goal unit.
And I know what DJ Moore is thinking. He goes, look, man, I squeezed that corner to the middle of the field. I left you 5 yards on the boundary out there. There was a lot of room for that back shoulder, just not enough time on task yet between those two. That was an opportunity.
Too bad. That's what training camp is for. That's what practice is for. These games count. Time on task. These are real. These count too.
They count, and it just... When it's the beginning of the season, you're not quite into the every week mundane, whatever you want to call it. But the beginning feels like more because that's all we have is the 1 or 2 games that they've played. When you get 12, 13 games deep, you can look at this game or that game and be like, that's 1 of 12 or 13. But right now, this is half of the resume, Dan. And it's also, what have you done for me lately? The recency bias kicks in. And then you look at the commonalities between games 1 and 2 and the frustrations that are shared between both those performances.
It's historically bad offense, even at a time when offense is suppressed. And the scoring environment, you know, in baseball, we talk about the run environment.
Right.
And I think we really do. I wish there were NFL plus stats, just like you have the way that OPS plus
is done.
And WRC plus. Anytime you see plus, that means it's going to give you park factors, run environment, and the way that it's not just the linear weighting, that maybe we should be looking at where they are relative to other teams and other offenses.
It's like in baseball when you see a team get off to a horrible start, and then you're like, oh, but it's just the start. They're going to turn things around. They have time, right? Well, sometimes they have time. Sometimes they
you
just...
You got 6 months and 162.
Yes. Baseball. So like... It's like when I looked up the batting average the other day, like Luis Arraez is leading the...
You know what's funny?
But like there's 3 guys hitting over 300. 3! That's insane to me that only 3 guys are hitting over 300. I know we're in a different era, but we're also in a different era with the football stuff. So like...
Look at 1968.
What was and what is, and it's... You know, it comes in waves and it goes in waves and everything comes back full circle. I don't know where we are with this whole offense-defense thing. I just know that the Bears defense has been good for a while. The offense... has been bad for seasons on seasons.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. He's Marshall Harrison for Lawrence Holmes. I am Dan Bernstein. And Caleb Williams met the media after the game. And no, you can imagine him bedraggled and covered in ice packs,
I like that.
Or at a full body cast, or wheeled out there on a gurney like Hannibal Lecter, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. But he was all right, because he's young, and he's resilient, and he's elastic, and he answered reporters' questions like this.
What bothers you the most about this one right now, as you stand here?
Not coming out with a win. Not executing, when we needed to, as a team. Myself throwing two interceptions, it's not something that I've done. Something that I do, is turn the ball over. It's not really my thing. So, I think those things, probably the things that I'm most, frustrated about, back out there, we didn't execute the way we needed to, and we're going to keep getting better. Everything's about the response. It's week two. It's what the guys are. Obviously, I'm a young guy, but understanding it's a long season. Understanding that it's week two. Understanding that we're going to respond, and just get better every day. Get better at practice. All these different things throughout the weeks. Attention to details and things like that.
On the delay game coming out of the timeout, 1st and 10, what needs to improve about the operation? So something like that probably shouldn't happen, doesn't happen.
Yeah. So I believe the ref told me 10 seconds. I thought I got in the huddle pretty fast. Said to play. Got up there and I didn't see the clock. I thought I had enough time. The clock in my head. Was a little bit, slower than that, and that mistake was on me. So, getting better with that. I think small things like, not being, as far away from the huddle, being right there, right there next to the guy. So you just take a, maybe one step and not lose a second or two, because it's obviously big.
It looked like after game you were processing a lot. How do you deal with, or how do you kind of navigate your expectations for how you wanted things to go the first couple games and where you're at in reality?
Yeah. I think just kind of taking in the moment, understanding, and trying to figure out what I need to get better at. Obviously haven't watched film, haven't done all those things yet, but, just trying to figure out, what areas was I off? What areas were we off? To have the outcome we have, which is not winning the day. And so that was the kind of process what was going through my mind right after the game. And then we're excited about this week coming up. We're excited about all of that. But obviously we're feeling the it sucks to lose. Simple as that.
So the first interception to DJ, what did you see in that particular sequence there?
So I saw DJ go inside. I knew he was one-on-one. Tried to give my guy a chance. And then, the DV cut up under him, made a good play on the ball. That was that. I'm a little bruised up. Took a couple hits today. I'm getting ice tubs, do all the things that I need to do, to make sure that, my body's ready for tomorrow and, practice on other days and obviously next game.
Nothing significant though?
No.
Pressure, a lot of it came interior, straight in your face. This week it was more off the edge. I'm sure you spent some time this week trying to figure out how to find those lanes right in front of you. Then this week it's coming from outside of you. Are there challenges and things like that in terms of when to step up, when to bail out, when to get rid of it early?
Yeah, there's always challenges. I mean, that's the defense's job to make a challenge for the offense, myself, and things like that. Could have used a couple more calls, and coming out of half and things like that when they tried to, you know, start blitzing. Got to it later in the, you know, later in the quarters and things like that. After got to the sideline at the quarters, you know, a few times and things like that. So, it's every week's gonna be a challenge. Every week, you know, it's tough to go out there and win games. It's like I said, their job to go out there and make it tough for us. So we got to find the right calls. I got to find the right calls, at the line of scrimmage. We got to get, you know, the play in, huddle sequence, all of that, get up to the line, do all these other things. So, we can go out there and execute.
Can you put your finger on why the offense has struggled so much in the first 2 weeks when you guys have pretty high expectations for yourselves?
I think it just comes down to detail execution. I think that's always, where it comes from. Watching tonight, we were moving the ball pretty well first half, it felt like, and then second half, kind of got shaky and out of hand for us and things like that. So, just understanding that, understanding where we were good at, where we weren't, and making the corrections throughout this week. I didn't ask. Get up, play ball. They didn't throw the flag. Just get up, play ball, and keep going.
Did you have an interaction with Stroud at all before or after the game?
We shook hands at the end of the game. Say good luck, stay healthy, and that was about it.
How did you feel about your throwing accuracy today compared to week one?
Yeah, I felt better today. Felt more in rhythm. Felt more, body wise and things like that. Kind of changed the routine. Kind of changed the workout and all these different things to be able to prepare and get ready for this game and even on game day. Changed some things around, and so body wise was feeling good. Body wise and delivery, all these different things was feeling good.
What'd you change?
Even today, when I was out in the field, the warm up that I had, the throwing session I had before the game, those are two things that kind of changed up, how I was doing it.
First drive after halftime, you had extended a play and had Carter, and it seemed like you were a little bit frustrated with yourself on that one. Do you remember the play where it was, you kind of rolled out left and he was breaking the left sideline and you missed one? It seemed like you were bothered by that.
Trying to think of what play you're exactly talking about. Can't think of the play, but third down.
To the left, and DeAndre was kind of breaking across.
Did I?
Toward the left sideline, just kind of missed it by a yard or two, and it seemed like you left it.
Okay. I got what you're saying. Those passes right there. Oh, I didn't break. I didn't run. I just stepped up in the pocket. And overthrew him
a little bit.
Yeah. I got what you're saying. We just right there. You went back, or I went back, and saw the pictures that we have, the still pictures, and if we would have connected on that, he would have went down the sideline and took it. Safety didn't take a good angle on him, so we were just right there for having a big explosive touchdown. Didn't work out. So, I was a little frustrated, but also we were right there almost hitting a huge play. So, those happen.
Caleb Williams said every week it's going to be a challenge. Indeed it is. Last night, the Bears had two challenges. Neither one I quite understand. So I want to do a forensic discussion and examination.
I left my scalpel at home, but I'll oblige.
Come on, man. What are you doing? Are you just the scalpel, the microphone, and then the little TV like scale where you weigh the organs?
Oh, okay.
And then you say something, and then you have to tell me, like, how could this entry wound have come if it actually was shot from this distance? And say, well, I suspect it's something else.
We're gonna find out why the Bears got murdered up front.
One way or another.
There it is. Next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We have the challenge flag thrown here, Chris, right away. It was in front of the Bears sideline. We snuck the replay in as the Texans ran to the line. Looked like I saw the rubber come up, the crumb rubber on the field. There's one down. Yep, there's two down with a big drive.
Moving on the previous play, a completed pass is being challenged by Chicago.
That is not even close.
Timeout.
He kept control of it as well, so it's going to be confirmed in all likelihood as a grab.
Because it was a grab. And they challenged it. And then later on the near interception that wasn't an interception, it was Kyler Gordon, right?
Right.
That had it in his hands, and then they called it incomplete.
Right.
So you would need, remember that the call matters.
Yeah, because it's whether it's to overturn it, you need enough evidence that it should be overturned. Like, that's different than just saying, hey, maybe he did get. No, it's got to be clear and conclusive evidence that the call should be overturned, the call that was made on the field. That's why the call on the field matters so much. So if it had been not, let's say, and they do this a lot on defense.
They'll talk.
What I'm saying is they won't blow the whistle and say incomplete. They'll just let the play go.
Right.
And then they'll get together, talk about it. Actually, it was an incomplete pass. Or now the challenge is it's a scoring play, because that would have been a scoring play. It's automatically reviewed. I wish more times than not that they would let the play go when it's so obvious that the guy's going to score. And then it's going to be reviewed because all scoring plays and turnovers are reviewed. So I guess either way, even if it was going to be reviewed just for being a turnover. But I looked at the play and I was like, I could see how you might think, because, you know, the ball's allowed to hit the ground as long as you have control of it.
But it hit twice.
Yeah. He had his hand underneath it the one time. And then
We've all watched enough football to know that was a terrible challenge.
It was a bad challenge.
So here's what Matt Eberflus had to say about the questionable flags that he threw.
We have a good process for that. It's a little bit different when you can't see the monitor right away, and it's a critical play, like a third down or a takeaway. So we do put a little bit more weight on those, but we have a great process.
And how do you clean, just stick with that, how do you clean that up to make sure that those challenges go in the right direction for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've been pretty clean overall, you know, since we've been here. And again, those were just situations where we didn't get a great look at it and there were critical downs. And, so we made a decision to do it and it didn't work out that time.
You're 2-for-7 career.
That's his number?
He's 2-for-7.
He's batting 286?
You know that off the top of your head?
Come on, man.
I see.
I'm a math guy. I'm that dude. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm
I learned math by computing baseball stats, like my ERA, batting average, OPS.
I thought I would. I still my just different brains. Numbers guy, word guy, and you're a word guy too, which is kind of not fair. But he's 2-for-7.
He was 2-for-5.
So he's batting 400.
I understand that. And last night there were how many? See, that math I get.
I like that.
He was 2-for-5. Plus
That's what Matt Eberflus said after the game, too. I was 2-for-5, though.
But plus 0-for-2.
He went from Ted Williams to, I don't know who bats 286.
But somebody good now.
Yeah. So he went from batting 400 to 286 in a matter of one game, much like an early baseball game.
Yes, when the stats are volatile.
Yes.
But it's not a good process because it doesn't work. You have a process.
Listen, if it was a good process, you'd be batting higher than 286.
Yeah, and I know in baseball, maybe they've got a better... When he said, why can't you look at the monitor? Don't you have somebody who has one job, and that is to look at a monitor?
Maybe he feels like his BABIP is high, so...
Right.
Yeah, somebody's job is to look at the monitor, but what he said there was they didn't see it quickly enough, and so I guess he had to go with a gut call. Somebody said Kyler Gordon was trying to convince him that he caught it. That's never a good... Never listen to the player.
Well, sometimes, though, I understand that there's a time and a place for a bad challenge. If it's a desperation, the timeout doesn't matter. It's the play that could, if you get a weird ruling on it, it's just like a spinning of the wheel for an unlikely outcome. I understand taking a bad challenge if there's no downside.
Well, I think that's why he took it, because that's a game-changing play if it's caught and clear of touchdown. That's different. But to your point, now you don't have a timeout. Now you've been trailing this entire game. You know you're going to probably need that timeout at the end.
Yeah. That's what bugs me is, and the other one, I think he was standing there, wasn't he? When Stephon Diggs catches the ball, foot, possession the entire time, wasn't it right in front of Eberflus?
So you're saying he saw it himself, and that's why he called it?
And I know he can't be looking at all of it, but...
He's watching the play when it happens, I can tell you that.
I guess. The number of things that don't add up here to me, we have a good process, we have a great process. Okay, you're 2 for 7, and... The reason why you were bad last night is you didn't have a good look at the monitor or you didn't see it. Then something's wrong with your process.
So I would say this, much like what Dan said when we talked to him about maybe getting better answers, more honest answers today, he's going to be asked about the challenges now that he's had a chance to go back and look. I think he'll have better answers today.
You think so?
And I think somebody's going to ask about that process and try to get a better explanation for what the process is if he doesn't say something different, right? He would have to. That's what they're tasked.
I would be disappointed if he doesn't have more information.
Exactly.
Now.
That's my point.
And then will he offer the information?
I think for that, he'll offer the information. That's not anything giving up scheming or...
No.
Yeah, that's innocuous.
But I noticed, too, when Wiederer said, I hope he's honest about what he sees from the offensive line. I don't want transparency and honesty after two games to be backtracking, because we gave him a lot of credit for trying to change things around. We gave him a lot of credit for swapping out all the comms people, not just the offensive coaches. They have all new PR people. We've got a new operation up there when it comes to this, because he was unhappy about some of it. So why were they lying about Keenan Allen's injury? I want to know that too. I'm it's too bad that after 2 days we're missing some of this.
When he said that though, that's like obviously preseason, so before the injury report, and you have to tell people what's going on. It just, if you want to be vague, be vague, but don't. A cleat issue is. It's misleading.
It's not. The cleat hurt his foot because he has an injured foot, is what it is. And next up, Anthony Heron is going to join us. He's going to hang out for a while and tell us what he saw at Bears-Texans next on The Score.